Blue Momentum Pictures. On black, a blue block script M is written, Millennium Films. A golden Buddha on a plinth, Luminosity Films. Emmett Furler Films. Millennium Films presents, in association with Luminosity, a Randall Emmett George Furler production, Steven Seagal. A film by Don E. Fauntleroy, Mercenary for Justice. CIA Headquarters, McLean, Virginia.
Understand, Chapel, this is a very sensitive operation.
John Dresham, CIA Dirty Deeds Man.
That island is considered a CIA asset. I want those independent contractors believing they're liberating those people.
Anthony Chapel, Black Ops Producer.
Did you think that I was going to tell them that they're risking their lives so that we can get rich off of diamonds and oil?
Mercenaries in a truck drive through an African town.
I need the best on this one, and I need plausible deniability.
Heavily laden Africans trudge along.
I shall give you the best.
Mercenaries swathed in cartridge belts and with automatic rifles ride in the back of a pickup.
Kruger and Kirk.
They fire from a hut.
Munitions expert, South Africans, more specifically Afrikaners. There is not a gun or a bullet they cannot find or use. 500 kills to their credit.
Lovely.
This is Mr. Samuel K.
Chapel hands Dresham a photo.
MIS and AI specialist. Fluent in 9 computer languages. Can, or more precisely, has hacked his way into every system in the world, including your own. Especially when you consider with whom they shall be working. Maxine Barnell, where hardware hacking and bribery won't work, you need a muse. Extraordinary.
360, this is Flying Eagle. Will you copy over?
Mr. Radio Jones, communications specialist, and the only person capable of talking Mr. John Seeger into joining our little party.
Seeger fires round a corner.
John Seeger. The most decorated soldier in the First Gulf War.
Seeger, wearing shades, fires.
He's a wild card, Chapel.
Yes. Best at doing what he does.
We'll lean over behind this.
Only if you want him to.
Just make sure you keep it under control, Chapel. We don't need a war.
Peace.
Chapel sips a glass of water. Tanks fire at soldiers rushing from a building. 2 soldiers are thrown into the air. A tank gun lowers. A building is hit. Smoke swirls as soldiers rush forward. A news reporter, Galmoral Island, French Army Base Camp, Southern Africa.
No, you cannot see it. Just over that hill, a fierce battle has erupted, sending civilians fleeing for their lives.
Jacqueline Lord. Trucks splash the refugees with mud. Fires burn. Roger Guinevere Smith. Luke Goss. Refugees pass a corpse. Michael Kenneth Williams, Adrian Galley, Langley Jack Kirkwood. A dead soldier is splashed by a truck. Dead soldiers litter the road. A sparse tree burns. Visual effects producer Scott Coulter. Music supervisor Ashley Miller. Costume designer Raya Philippe. Mercenaries in dark green stop their open-top Land Rover by an abandoned lorry.
It's perfect! Johnny, hotwire this piece of shit and lay a charge. You, rookie, it's time to show us what you're made of. We jack a car in town and we move in on a target. And when she's clear, we go in with a truck.
Do you think she's up to it?
Well, if she doesn't call us after 5 minutes, we'll do it the old-fashioned way.
Donnie lays a charge underneath the lorry. Then he climbs up into the cab and hot wires the lorry. The Land Rover reverses. The rookie blonde woman stands in the back. The lorry follows them, written by Stephen Collins. French Ambassador's Home, Galmoral Island, Southern Africa. Directed by Donnie Fauntleroy. A dog lies outside by the front door. A man in a dressing gown reads a paper at a table. A woman brushes her hair. An African maid enters a bedroom carrying folded linen. A girl is oblivious on an iPod. A teenage boy brushes his teeth. An African man pours coffee into a china jug.
Children will be down in a minute. Please get their breakfast ready on the table. I'm taking the ambassador's coffee now.
The elegantly attired servant carries away the tray. The rookie from the Land Rover gets out of a BMW outside the gates.
I have an urgent message for the ambassador.
She drops her handbag on the cobblestones. As a guard stoops to it, she knees him. She hits the other guard with the butt of his own rifle and kicks him to the ground. She jumps on his back and slits his throat with a knife. Another guard rushes her. She twists his neck and he falls. She scrabbles in her bag for her cell phone.
Guys, we're all clear.
The open-top Land Rover and the white lorry approach as the rookie hauls the corpses out of the way. She takes a radio from the belt of one of them. The Land Rover pulls up at the gates. A man from the Land Rover, Kruger, hands a gun to the blonde rookie. He gives her a leg up over the wall. The gates open and the Land Rover is driven through. The ambassador's coffee arrives. Kruger walks forward with a grenade launcher in his hands.
May I pour your coffee for you?
Yes, please.
The bleached blonde driver of the Land Rover, de Kirk, and the woman crouch as they run past windows. She's given a leg up to a higher floor. Kruger moves through inside the building. The woman climbs onto a balcony. A rope is thrown up and she attaches it to the railings. De Kirk climbs up the rope. They advance through the building, guns raised. De Kirk enters the kitchen.
Come with me.
The two servants raise their hands. The rookie woman enters a bedroom.
Come with me now. It's okay.
The maid alerts the teenage girl who's on an iPod. Kruger creeps up behind a beret guard and twists his neck. The ambassador's wife is grabbed. The teenage boy is grabbed as he cleans his teeth.
Bonjour.
What are you doing here?
You know what the fuck I'm doing here. Your foreign policy sucks and we need you as insurance to get out of this mess.
I'm the French ambassador.
I know who the fuck you are. I'm running a bit of a tight schedule, so let's move.
He drags the ambassador away. The ambassador's wife and everyone else are bundled outside.
Get up in the truck.
Get on the truck, it's my fucking holiday! Move! All right, let's move out. We don't want to keep our friends waiting.
The mercenaries climb aboard the Land Rover pickup. The blonde woman stands in the back. The lorry with the hostages drives out of the gate and follows the Land Rover down the road. The hostages huddle in the lorry. The dog is left behind to whimper.
3 days ago, heavily armed mercenaries launched a lightning raid overthrowing Sibi Al-Fukar and his corrupt cadre of army officers who have held this tiny island nation in their iron grip for over 3 years. With the surprise arrival of a brigade of French commandos, these mercenaries have been dislodged from their positions around the city and put on the defensive, forced into a shrinking perimeter. As the French mass for a final assault, these besieged soldiers of fortune now face a stark choice, the inside of a French jail cell, or death.
A white helicopter lands. A tank rumbles past. A dark-haired woman reporter walks through the smoke as soldiers rush past her in the other direction. A French colonel, escorted by two armed and helmeted soldiers, alights from the rear of the helicopter. There's an explosion in the distance. The reporter approaches.
Colonel! Colonel! Colonel, will you risk an attack even though these mercenaries have taken civilian hostages?
The reporter, Maxine Barnall, approaches.
Colonel Roland, when do you strike?
They have nowhere to go. We will overtake them, but we'll have hostages to consider.
With your permission, I'd like to cross the line and talk to the mercenaries. And yes, I understand what that means.
Let her through.
Who the hell are you with? Looks like I'm with the mercenaries.
Maxine walks on with her cameraman. As a tank maneuvers in front of a building, a bandaged French soldier is stretchered to a field hospital tent nearby. The colonel and his escort approach the building. The white helicopter takes off. The colonel climbs the outside stairs of the camouflaged building. In slow motion, the helicopter flies over. Tanks fire, crouching mercenaries return fire. A mercenary launches a grenade into a window and a soldier falls out. Mercenaries advance through concrete and tangled wire. One jumps down from a wall. Two mercenaries crouch and fire up at a building. A tank bursts through a wall and powers forward. Mercenaries fire out of a wrecked building. A group of them run from the building. John Seeger gives covering fire from a window. A French soldier falls and another. A soldier advances, firing downwards. A soldier lies dead, leaning on rubble. A soldier fires from a partially boarded up window. A mercenary in a woolen hat crouches as he fires. A tank rolls over a car. The hatted mercenary runs up to the building and shoots the soldier at the window. A mercenary breathes hard, clutching his rifle. He peers round the corner. The hatted mercenary climbs up onto the roof of the building and runs up over the top and then drops down out of sight. A soldier fires down from a window. A mercenary steps out round a corner and is shot by the soldier at the window. The hatted mercenary appears behind the window soldier and cuts his throat. The soldier and debris fall from the window. A mercenary emerges through smoke and hides round a corner as Maxine runs along, followed by her cameraman. They run through wrecked buildings. A tank fires and two mercenaries are blown into the air. Maxine and her cameraman run out into the sunlight. A tank fires. Seeger shoots from around a corner. Mercenaries fire from out of wrecked buildings, one with a machine gun on a tripod.
Chief, I don't know where these numbers are coming from. We're outnumbered, we're in trouble. Where are all these Frenchies coming from?
Seeger carries on firing out of the concrete building.
Get head office on the secure line.
Where's Kruger and his men?
Last call we heard, Kruger took the French ambassador and his family for extra insurance. Why should we agree to work with a slapstick like that anyway?
One my call.
Seeger reloads. Maxine and her cameraman approach at a run.
Camera crew coming in! Maxine, what are you doing here?
Man, you're supposed to stay out of the danger zone, gather intel only. You hear that?
Oh, well, how's this for intel? The French have landed. Somebody fucked us!
Seeger pushes her back down against the wall as bullets rain into the building. Seeger fires out and then ducks back in.
Radio! Give me that commune!
Damn! Hello, Bravo! Bravo 123! Do you copy? Got our employers on the line here. Maybe it's time to swallow our pride and call for a little help.
Radio hands the comm to Seeger.
Another CIA? Fuck you, isn't it? All right, forgot the creed. Care for no one, fight for everyone.
That's a good motto, isn't it?
Seeger puts the comm to his ear.
Sigma, this is Alpha 9, I repeat Alpha 9. Did you read me?
Sigma, this is Alpha 9, say again, Alpha 9.
Chapel, you guaranteed me this French fiasco would not happen.
Sigma, this is Alpha 9, I repeat Alpha 9.
You know, I think we're in a refund situation. Shall I make the check out to the CIA or to you?
It's your call on this one, Dresham.
Fuck you, Chapel.
It's a bit more for my mercs to handle.
Shall we call in the troops?
Those mercs, they figured out who they're working for?
And what difference does that make?
Because right now we need the Niability more than we need them back in one piece. You understand me?
We're still working the plan, Sigma. Didn't you say there would be no counter support? Can we expect any help from your end with our extraction?
You really want them back, Chapel?
No help at all.
Chapel, you and Gresham fuck us on this. I'm gonna stick my 45 up your ass and break every bone in your body.
Chapel, this is getting out of control.
You know something? The next time that you and the agency want to plan a little business trip, dial someone else.
Chapel at a Galmoral Island resort.
Fucking yank. Excuse my language.
A tank explodes in a fireball.
All right, Jones, call in the chopper. Samuels, load up all the wounded.
Send in a goddamn chopper now!
You'll never learn, will you?
Who do you think we're working for?
The mercenaries abandon their position.
I said I'm just getting the fuck out of here. I should have dragged you into this, John. They used me to get a hold of you, man.
A French soldier shoots Radio in the back. Seeger guns the soldier down. One side of Radio's face is covered with sand, and blood pours from his mouth.
Hang on, son. I'm gonna get you on that chopper.
Take care of Eddie.
Hang on, George, you hear me?
Chandra.
Hang on, man.
Promise me.
Seeger lays the dead Radio gently down. A tank fires. Maxine's cameraman stands just outside filming and is shot down. Maxine looks round from her dead colleague. Seeger carries the body of Radio out into the open as a helicopter circles overhead. A French soldier raises his rifle at Maxine.
Stand back! Don't move!
Impressed! You just killed an innocent man, asshole!
The blood-splattered cameraman lies propped against the wall. Maxine struggles to regain composure. A mercenary loads a grenade into a launcher. The grenade is launched and hits a military vehicle in a convoy. The French colonel looks out from a window covered in camouflage netting.
Colonel, this is Kruger. Come in.
The colonel picks up the radio.
Mr. Kruger, there's nowhere for you to run.
Now listen up. I got the French ambassador and his lovely family here, and the truck is rigged to blow. So stand the fuck down.
The hostages huddle in the back of the lorry. The colonel stands with his radio in his hand. Kruger and co. arrive at a warehouse building and drive into it. The blonde woman stands in the truck with an automatic rifle.
Tell them to hold their fire!
Dekirk drives the truck with lorry following through the warehouse. French soldiers concealed in the warehouse prepare to ambush the truck. Kruger and Dekirk fire at them. A soldier is hit. And another. The ambassador huddles with his family on the lorry. A soldier abseils down from the roof and is shot. The warehouse blows up. The truck and the lorry make it through. The colonel picks up his radio.
Repeat, everyone, stand down.
The lorry goes past. On it. The ambassador's daughter nods. Dekirk drives the truck on. The blonde stands behind them. Soldiers ambush the lorry.
Colonel, what the fuck are you doing?
Repeat, everyone, stand down.
Kruger, Dekirk and the blonde fire from the truck.
On my mark, get the fuck out of the truck!
The blonde is shot. Hostages crouch in a huddle in the back of the lorry. Mercenaries roll from the lorry, which then blows up. Bodies fly high in the air. Dekirk swerves in the truck. The colonel lowers his field glasses. A tank fires. Soldiers run through debris. The rescue helicopter comes in under fire. Seeger carries radio. The helicopter hovers. The mercenaries fight their way under heavy fire through debris and buildings. A tank fires, a mercenary fires a grenade. Through a window, a soldier is shot and flies through the air. Samuel Kay waves the mercenaries forward. A tank fires, the mercenaries run through smoke and debris. Mercenaries take temporary refuge. A tank fires, a mercenary runs and jumps from a dumpster. The helicopter lands. With covering fire from a mounted machine gun in the helicopter, the mercenaries run to get on board. Seeger carries radio toward the chopper as Kruger and Dekirk approach. Seeger lays radio carefully down. He turns and greets Kruger and Dekirk.
Hey! No worries, Johnny boy. We made it, didn't we?
Seeger pushes Kruger to the ground.
I ought to fucking kill you right now, boy.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not right now.
Dekirk has his gun trained on Seeger, who goes back to radio. Kruger gets up. Kruger and DeKirk run crouching to the chopper. Kruger shoves Samuel Cage.
I hear the flaps in the States fly really well. So why don't you and your buddy hop in a tail and fly the fuck out of here?
I'll fly on a tail, Kruger, if you don't mind me throwing a grenade up in this helicopter with all you motherfucking white folks!
Samuel pulls the pin from the grenade.
Forget about it.
DeKirk eyeballs Kay as he and Kruger climb aboard.
Delfinger, come on, we fall! Leave him, we fall, man! Come on, let's get the fuck out of here!
Seeger boards the chopper as it hovers. The chopper flies off. Smoke rises from the ground. Soldiers fire on the chopper, which fires down, and two soldiers fly through the air as they are hit. The chopper against the clear blue sky.
Maxine!
She played through. She always does.
The mercenaries sit grim-faced. The French colonel flings down his radio. Zooming over the ocean and a sandy beach to high-rise buildings, sunset over a city. Dade County, Florida, in a yellow house, a boy plays a computer racing car game.
Go too slow. Come on, go. Oh yeah, I'm catching up. Whoa!
The boy turns as his mother shuts a cupboard. A TV is on.
Galmora was turned over to the UN by the French, ending a conflict which began as a small coup by anti-government mercenaries, now celebrated as heroes here. This small island nation has its first taste of freedom in over 100 years, and democratic elections...
A black pickup is watched by Maxine and Samuel Kay.
You're correct. One week and he shows. Guess you know him well.
The pickup circles at the end of a cul-de-sac and parks. John Seeger gets out of the pickup. Seeger goes through the gate of the yellow house. A parked 4x4 is nearby. Seeger approaches the front door of the house.
Take him. Meet me back at base.
Take him. You make this shit sound easy.
Maxine strides across the room. Samuel picks up his radio.
The lady says it's a go.
Samuel raises his field glasses. Seeger approaches the front door of the yellow house.
Mom, it's the door.
Put your video game down and answer it for me.
The young boy stomps to the door.
Hey, Eddie. I don't know if you remember me. You used to live on the army base with me and your daddy.
But Mom said he's not coming home.
Well, there's nothing he wanted more than to be with you.
Chandra Jones walks through.
Eddie, go to your room.
His mother fingers her wedding ring as Eddie walks past.
Why are you here, John? State Department already notified us.
Chandra's face starts to crumple.
Why him?
John embraces Chandra.
Why my baby?
She sobs on his shoulder.
It was that coup in Africa, wasn't it? The one on the news? They always believed they could make a difference.
Casualties of war.
You went along because of him, John. So tell me what I lost him to, hmm? Some stupid cause? And now they're gonna fly him back. And leave me with a folded flag and a bunch of medals.
It's not that simple as a covert op.
They're not bringing him back?
Well, I'm bringing him back. And I'm telling you he's going to get full military honors and a proper burial.
A tear runs down Chandra's cheek. John brings out a bundle of cash.
Listen,
What is this?
I'm going to look after you and the baby now.
Chandra gets up from the sofa. As she walks away, John gets up and looks out of the window. He parts the slats on the blind and sees the 4x4. Seeger goes out of the back door, vaults a concrete wall, and makes his way over rough ground and an ivy-covered wall. He approaches the 4x4 from the rear. Two men are sitting in it.
What does take us along?
Don't worry, he's got to come out eventually.
Seeger taps on the back window of the truck, gun in hand. The two men jump out and rush him. He shoots the first one and clubs the second one down with the barrel of his gun. Checking inside the vehicle, he picks up a cell phone. Dresham answers in his office.
Tell me you've got him.
Unfortunately, I'm alive and they're dead.
John. John, it's good to hear from you. Look, I'm sorry about Jones. You know we had to maintain plausible deniability.
You know what? You fucked us, and I'm not getting over that.
Well, we can talk about that, John. So why don't you just come back in, huh?
Well, I'm coming in. Believe me, I'm coming in. I'm coming in to get you. You wanted a one-on-one.
John, listen.
Seeger cuts him off. Seeger drives off.
Surveillance at the United Nations in New York turned up one of the people you red flagged. He had a suitcase filled with money.
Thank you, Kim.
Dresham opens the file. Three men in a photo. One is Chapel. In another picture, Chapel pockets a check.
See you back in business, Chapel.
Seeger takes a corner in his black pickup with its raised suspension and big wheels. Suddenly, he's hemmed in by a van in front and a black Porsche behind him. A team of casually dressed armed men surround Seeger. Kruger and DeKirk are among them.
Now, there's two ways we can do this, John. We can all end up looking like Swiss cheese, or we can go have a nice cup of coffee. What's it gonna be?
Let's go have a cup of coffee.
Get this truck out of here.
Seeger is escorted into the van, which leads the way as Seeger's pickup follows, and the Porsche brings up the rear. At CIA headquarters.
Thank you.
Kelly?
Just in from the FBI, sir. There's been a shootout in Miami. One of the dead has been identified as a South African national. He's a mercenary. We used him at Galmoro as Seeger.
Great.
Also, our two men staking the Jones house, they've been found dead.
God damn this. Where's Seeger?
A witness said someone matching his description was taken away at the scene. Maybe his friends?
Seeger doesn't have friends. Besides, a commando-style rescue mission in Miami is going to cost somebody a great deal of money to organize. Get the jet ready. We're going to Miami. Dresham here. I need authorization.
At Miami Airport, a plane is docked on the terminal building. On board, Chapel shakes Maxine's hand. Seeger and Kruger come aboard. Maxine in a business suit starts to leave.
I heard the French had you.
She turns.
Like the CIA had you?
I didn't know I was going to be twisting the wind like this. I'd have never let them do that to me, and I'd have never let them do that to us.
Maxine walks up to Seeger and cocks her head.
The only reason I took this job was so I could look you in the eye and tell you I've killed for money. I've lied, but my heart never got sold out with the contract. Until now.
They stare at each other. She turns on her heels.
He's waiting for you.
She turns for a parting shot.
You deserve each other.
And I thought ladies like the bed.
Kruger and DeKirk get beers at the bar. Maxine leaves the plane. Chapel approaches Seeger.
I think she's mad at me.
How are you, John? I understand your anger. I don't think that anyone really appreciates all that you do for them, especially your country.
Yeah, three people died today. I was kind of wondering why.
Either for nothing or for something. It's your choice.
You make the decision.
This is our assignment from Mr. Amit Dasan. A billionaire extraordinaire.
Mr. Chapel has arrived, sir.
Ah. Ahmed Dasan.
Pleasure.
Please, walk with me. You are aware of my problem?
Yes, sir. I've looked into your request. But I must say it's beyond my capabilities. Quite simply put, it cannot be done. I am sorry.
In 4 days from now, the United States Justice Department will be transferring my son from South Africa to a lockdown facility in Leavenworth, Kansas.
A lovely facility, I'm told.
Guarded by the largest infantry division of the U.S. Army.
A well-known fact.
But, until then, the South Africans are detaining Kamal at the Randfeld prison outside of Cape Town. I'm told it's a lovely facility, too.
To snatch your son from Randfeld, the most heavily fortified prison in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yet, it is not quite Leavenworth.
Almost. Trust me, it can't be done.
I have controlled the arms pipeline through the Middle East for 20 years. Money? I am a billionaire many times over. and I would spend every bit of it to free my firstborn child.
But in order for an operation of this type to be completely successful, I should anticipate a certain risk and a certain expense.
Oh, that is just your payment, Mr. Chappell. A quarter down, the rest when my son is standing before me. Now tell me again how some things just can't be done.
I do stand corrected, sir.
You will find $20 million in an account in the Cayman Islands. And that amount has been depleted, it will be automatically refilled.
And how many times may I deplete it, sir?
Oh, you will know when you reach the limits of my indulgence.
How?
There will be a bullet in your head, Mr. Chappell.
Chappell's jaw twitches.
Everything you need to know about Renfeld is in these files.
Chappell hands them to John Seeger.
You can decide.
Another beer for Kruger.
I'm not interested. My employer's money has no idea what that concept means, John.
John gets up and looks at the South Africans around the bar. They return his gaze. Behind John, Chandra and Eddie appear on a TV screen.
John, they said they'd kill us if you didn't help them. Please, John, don't let them hurt my baby. We need your help. They say they're going to take us to Africa.
John, I am going to need your help.
John sits back down next to Chappell.
You know what? I'm kind of fascinated that you just don't have any means of persuasion. Are you referring to a gun? I don't touch a gun. And guns don't touch me. That's why I'm still alive. I think it'd be good if you let them go.
I think it would be nice if you understood that I'm a pushover, but I am not an idiot. And you promised Radio Jones that you would take care of little Eddie. And little Eddie is being taken care of, as you can see, quite well.
You kind of got me over a barrel. How much time do I have?
You have all the time in the world, as long as you do it within 4 days.
4 days is just not enough time.
But we have money. And money has a way of making time irrelevant. There might even be something in it for you, John.
What do you say we get this show on the road?
Tell the pilot we're ready to go.
A tattooed South African, bottle in hand, goes up the circular staircase.
Okay, great. Look, I want to search for all the high-end hotels in Miami. The penthouses. Chappell's going to be in one of them.
Maxine comes out of the building and hails a cab. Dresham spots her.
Never mind. What a pleasant surprise.
Dresham takes Maxine's briefcase.
Thank you.
He hands it to an assistant who lays it on the roof of a yellow cab and opens it up. It's full of cash.
Someone's got some explaining to do.
Maxine looks away. Dresham looks at her. Chappell's plane is in the air.
Computer support. I'm going to need somebody who can get hands up on that right away. Do we have any word on Samuel?
Loyalty in a mercenary. John. That's a character flaw.
It is, isn't it?
Actually, he's on board. Couldn't resist being here after that disaster in Africa.
Excellent. I suppose I'll get to see him soon.
Samuel.
Seeger turns to see Samuel at the bar.
Would you like to inform John as to why you came so willingly?
I'm here for you, John.
Fellow mercs reunited. Oh, the hate and mistrust warms my heart. John, you never asked about Maxine. I thought you and she were...
You're right. I didn't ask.
Chappell must have deep pockets if he's able to buy you.
I suppose so. Sorry, have we met before?
Oh, we partied on the same island once. Now tell me about Chappell and your boyfriend.
As far as I know, they've already taken off.
Kelly, get on it.
Yes, sir. You can keep the money.
Honey, you work for me now.
Dresham ushers her back inside the building.
What do you have?
Private jet manifest shows 15 unidentified passengers.
Going where?
Flight plan says South Africa, but it could be anywhere south of the pyramids.
Maxine?
Chappell has plenty of muscle and money. Where he chooses to flex them is none of my business.
Oh, really? Oh, but see and see go one last time, Ross, right?
You're really afraid of him, aren't you? Why? Does he have something on you?
So John does have a weakness.
Meaning what?
Meaning he'll come for you. So we're going to Africa, huh? How about a safari?
On the plane, John strolls slowly up to Samuel.
Look, I don't like the way shit went down. You know that.
And those men you let in?
One thing for sure, when you're a mercenary, you're always gonna have cash.
At the bar,
get the money all.
They down shots.
Guaranteed?
Guaranteed.
Kruger grabs the barmaid and kisses her. Samuel and John exchange nods and they go upstairs. The plane comes into land under a grey sky. Automatic doors open under a sign saying international arrivals. Cape Town, South Africa. Seeger in a sharp grey suit leads out the mercenaries who are also in suits. They get into two black 4x4s parked at the curb and drive off. From the air, houses below Table Mountain. The cars head down a highway which sweeps round to the left. They head downhill. Chapel turns from his front passenger seat and looks at John in his grey suit and yellow tie. Then he turns back. The tattooed South African is at the wheel. Samuel sits alongside John. Outside a chapel building, they stop and get out. They go to a gate at the side of the building and walk through. At Cape Town Airport, the doors open and Dresham, Kelly and Maxine come out.
Where's the goddamn car, Kelly?
Over there, sir.
Then what the fuck happened? Where are they?
They passed through the VIP line, sir.
How did they do that?
They had diplomatic passports.
Great, of course they did.
The mercenaries pick up weapons and ammunition from chests in the passage at the side of the chapel building. They cock guns and gaze down the sights of automatic rifles and pick up grenades. They enter the building with its polished wood floors. As they sit at a round table, Chapel shows them a video.
This is Kamal Dasan, son of Ahmet Dasan, Greek billionaire arms dealer. Our job is to break him out of prison.
Our intel says that Dasan Jr. is being kept at the most secure facility in Ranville. So there's guard stations at every point and Marshall's backing them up. And I don't think we'll have a problem with that.
How the fuck you figure that?
At 10 o'clock, there's going to be a shift change. Because of the large number of guards that are entering and exiting, they're disabling their alarm system for about 6 minutes. That's when we'll make our move. So this is what's going to happen. The perimeter sensors are still left on. Samuel's going to disable the system in the northeast sector, which is going to indicate a break-in in that area. Obviously, when that happens, all exits will be automatically locked except for the guard entrances, for obvious reasons. From this entrance, they're going to have direct access to the core, which is where our boy is. We may have to take a couple of guards out, and then we may have to deal with the marshals with CXL. What do you think, Kruger? You think you can handle that?
Fuck yeah, but why don't we use nerve gas on these pussies?
Well, with nerve gas, we're quite afraid that we may kill everybody, especially our boy, similar to the girls that you are used to killing.
You wanna dance, motherfucker? Get up. Get up!
I think it's much better if we act like professional soldiers.
Don't you?
That's not in your job description.
Let's get back to work.
Yes, sir. That would be nice.
Seeger releases Kruger from his grip. Kruger goes back to his seat.
We have a hole for you in Angola. With your name on it, Kruger.
Kruger looks baffled.
Everybody feeling up for this?
The men exchange glances and then nod.
All right.
Seeger nods. At night, the city and harbour of Cape Town. Maxine and a man come out of a hotel. Dresham and two men wait in a car.
John asked me to give you this.
She takes a piece of paper from the man, Bulldog, who then gets in a Mercedes. Dresham's men get out of their car. The Mercedes drives off.
Mr. Dresham would like to speak to you.
The moustached man ushers her towards Dresham's car. She gets into the front passenger seat beside him.
What did he want?
He wants me to gather intelligence for an operation he's running in Cape Town.
He tell you what the target was?
Is it the agency that wants John so badly, or is it just you?
Does it matter?
Maxine gets out of the car and walks off past the moustached man. Dresham gazes after her. A misty morning, a view of Cape Town Harbour and then the high-rise buildings of the city itself. Three snapshot views go step by step closer until one building is singled out. Dresham's car pulls up outside and he gets out and gazes up. Maxine walks into the building with Dresham. A man stands at the reception desk.
Have the Americans arrived yet?
They're right behind you.
A man wearing a security tag turns.
Mr. Dresham, Sparnell, Malik, Chief of Police, Cape Town.
They all shake hands.
Mr. Malik, we have reason to believe there's going to be an attempt to break into the Black Vault. This is an official request from the CIA. Your Foreign Affairs Division have asked you to help us on this one.
This is absurd. Totally absurd.
Humor me.
It's not possible. Can't be done. The bank security systems were designed by Cape Town's top security specialists.
Maxine and Dresham exchange a look.
Well, what are we talking about here? Some sort of private army or something?
Mr. Malik, you should assume these men are as well-trained as they are financed. Considering they've overthrown the governments of some of your largest depositors, maybe you should, pay attention?
So what's the CIA's interest?
There's an American national involved, but we'll take care of him.
Maxine looks at Dresham ruefully.
But even if your information is correct, it's still impossible.
Impossible. Maybe.
Well, let's sign you in.
Maxine's bracelet is a camera.
All control points are guarded. Blast doors that seal on the first alarm. Video surveillance, naturally. The doors are titanium-vanadium alloy with six different blast buffers. Here, you could blow them in, but with the amount of explosives you'd need, you'd probably bring the whole building down on top of you. This is the storage database for the 12 largest banks in southern Africa. You see, Mr. Dresham, money is no longer a dollar bill. It's a string of computer numbers with a name attached. And our many depositors from all over the world require three things of us: safety, security, and anonymity.
Well, of course they do.
There are no hard copies to these blueprints.
In the CCTV room.
Absolutely no one has access.
Good.
The software is all hardwired, so they come up only on this unit. Try to copy, delete, print, or transfer any of them, they auto-encrypt on a 256-bit key.
Malik looks smugly at Maxine, then with a keystroke removes the diagram from the screen.
The vault itself is opened only with two magnetic strip keys and a corresponding off-site security code, which changes every 6 minutes.
Impressive. Clearly your client's money is in very, very good hands, Mr. Malik.
Indeed. I mean, these guys would be crazy to even try.
They won't. They don't have a chance. We intend to put a stop to this little party long before it gets that far.
Good. Well, our department expects to be kept fully informed. Understood?
Well, actually, I don't even do that for my own government, but I'm here for you.
Dresham smiles at Malik.
Mr. Malik.
They shake hands.
Shall we?
Dresham and Maxine leave the security room. Outside, Seeger observes Maxine and Dresham as they leave the building.
Seeger's got to be crazy to try and break into that place.
Why?
You heard the man. Nobody has access to those files.
They cross the road.
I want you to find out where Seeger and Chapel are operating from.
I don't think he trusts me that much.
Really? Well, you don't get paid to think, Maxine. So fuck him and find out.
Maxine gives the ghost of a smile. Maxine gets into Dresham's Lexus and they drive off. Seeger watches. At a window in a tall building, Chapel's with Samuel.
Can anyone tell me why we've put the control station so far from the prison?
Because they invented wireless transmission. I mean, you did buy us that sailor relay tower on the mountain, right?
Indeed. So we control half the cellular phone transmission in the city. Why?
Because when the prison goes down, the locals might triangulate our communication traffic. Now, where would that lead them?
Hello, boy. I understand that you want to use Maxine as a distraction.
It's Seeger.
He's been in bed with Dresham all along. Oh, wrong choice of words. But we do need to do something about her. Who's going to do it?
I'll do it.
Well done.
Chapel walks slowly from the room.
Seeger, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, well, this time it's different. His name is Eddie, and I made him a promise.
That was a wonderful night, honey.
hell is he?
He said to meet him here, and where am I best?
Remember, use the beacon if I lose you in traffic. We want Seeger.
The biker rides off. Seeger is in the back seat of a Mercedes.
I get it. You don't talk because, like, maybe if you had to kill somebody, afterwards it would be hard. You know, you got that statuesque kind of, you know, stoic look on your face. See, with me, it's never hard.
Maxine waits. The Mercedes draws up. The driver, Bulldog, pushes the door open and Maxine gets in. She fastens her seatbelt.
Where are we going?
It's a surprise.
She looks at Seeger and then turns back.
Why did you have me dress up like this?
Well, I promised you after this last fiasco was over, I'd take you out. Do something nice, so here we are.
The driver checks the rearview mirror.
Are we being followed?
No. Bulldog, take that side road.
Maxine looks back at Seeger.
Side road. Strange road. Two men like you. That can mean one of two things, right? Either this will end up being really bad or really good.
She sits round and faces the front.
Max, how well you know me?
Really good.
There you go.
Maxine smiles to herself. A white building with fountains outside. Seeger and Maxine walk into a restaurant festooned with lights on the white cloth tables. A string quartet plays. A waiter carries a bottle in an ice bucket. A waitress in a long white apron passes by. The maitre d' beckons.
Right this way, sir.
Maxine looks impressed and Seeger smiles. Bulldog follows them across the room.
Lobster's good here. I'm going to order you some.
She looks at him fondly. Seeger holds out a chair for Maxine. Bulldog does the same for Seeger.
Thank you, sir.
As Seeger sits, Maxine picks up a bouquet of flowers from the table and sniffs them. The string quartet play, two male violinists and females on viola and cello. Seeger takes out his cell phone, keys a number, and then lays it down on the table. In the former chapel, Chapel plays at a baby grand piano. Chapel reaches inside his jacket.
Chapel here?
Listen, Chapel, my friend. We played your game long enough. Now we're going to do things my way.
And what makes you think that you have any leverage, old chum? One call and there's
a bullet in the boy's brain. A terrible thing to waste, wouldn't you say?
I'm talking about the bullet.
Periodically, I'm going to call you and ask for proof of life. You're going to give it to me right away. And if you don't, the game's over, you hear me? Now put the boy on.
All right. Very well.
In a lighthouse.
The little boy packed his school bag and got ready for school.
An unshaven man answers the phone.
Chapel here, put the boy on. Are you there, John? Listen.
Eddie is handed the phone.
Eddie?
Yeah?
Is that you, son?
Yes.
Listen, how you doing? You and your mom all right?
Yeah.
All right. You hang in there, you hear me?
That's quite enough.
The unshaven man takes the phone back.
John? You've had your proof. Now get back to work. I'll play you something sexy to put you in the mood. For you and the lady of your choice.
Seeger ends the call.
It's a dangerous game we're playing, John.
He nods.
Yeah, it is.
Seeger gets up from the table and walks out into the circular hallway. The bald and bearded biker enters. Maxine looks across at Bulldog, who smiles. Seeger enters the elegant pale blue men's room with its chaise longue, ornate table and standard lamp. The biker comes in, gun in hand, and closes the door behind him. He stops by one of the cubicles, crouches down and looks under the door. The door opens. Seeger is standing on top of the toilet. He calmly steps down and walks towards the guy, who points his gun at him.
You looking for me?
Yeah, that's it for you, poophole.
At lightning speed, Seeger disarms the man and throws him to the stone floor. He hoiks him up and hurls him against a mirror, breaking off a tap in the process. The guy gets to his feet shakily, and Seeger proceeds to give him a good beating. Seeger hurls the guy into a cubicle. He bashes the guy's head against the toilet bowl and hurls him at a urinal which comes off the wall. In the restaurant, Bulldog hears the commotion, gets up from his seat. Seeger hurls the guy onto the floor and reaches for his gun. Seeger steps on the guy's fingers. Seeger yanks the guy up by his jacket and continues to beat him. Seeger breaks the guy's back and he lands on the floor unconscious. Bulldog comes in and surveys the damage, smiling. The guy on the floor, water spurting out of the broken tap and the broken mirror. A second urinal falls off the wall.
Damn, that's a lot of work. You know, Bulldog, you never did say where you're from, but let me guess, don't tell me. Detroit.
Detroit, Michigan. How'd you guess?
You know what, I'm from Detroit, Highland Park. Two Motor City boys just like that. Let's get out of here and go have a drink. What do you say?
You buying?
All right.
We're gonna have to leave a big tip.
They head out to the candlelit restaurant. Seeger walks over to Maxine and takes her hand. She smiles at him curiously.
What happened in there?
Go to dance.
Maxine, in a beautiful figure-hugging red dress, stands. The couple slowly dance together as the string quartet plays. Dresham and Malik walk out of a police station.
We located them on a satellite track this morning.
Where are they?
At a deserted church in Woodstock. They were using it as a staging area.
Good, so you got them, right?
No. When we got there, they must have just left. The place was deserted.
That motherfucker's hidden in the bank.
The bank?
Seeger. He's hidden in the bank right now. Listen, I want every cop in this godforsaken place at that bank right now. You understand me?
Right. Right. I want all cars down to Credit Natal immediately, right now.
Armed police officers wearing blue-grey trousers and light blue shirts emerge from the police station. They rush to vehicles and drive off through the city. In an office, Samuel sits at a computer.
It's a go to you, John.
In a car, Seeger points a gun at Dresham's head.
Well, well, well. You've made it abundantly apparent that I don't work for you anymore. But I'm just curious, why do you keep sending your boys to mess up my dinner dates?
John, you know I can make all the bad things go away.
Everything but this. Tigers and Mouse, what's happening to Beehive?
Cars head towards the prison. One of the guys observes from up a tree.
All set to go.
Eagle, any activity to target?
The black cars stop and the men, all dressed in black, get out. A barbed wire fence surrounds the fortress prison, a long building with rows of windows punched in the walls, topped with a round tower. The men tramp through fields nearby. Gates in a high grey wall open and a police car drives out. The guy in the tree keeps watching through binoculars. In the office, Samuel monitors the situation.
Change of the guard coming up. In 3, 2, 1, alarms are down.
In Dresham's car.
Go ahead and move in.
Copy that. Alarms are down. Go in now.
Right, we're going in.
A manhole cover is removed and a rope is dropped down into a gloomy tunnel. The men descend the rope and look around the darkness with torches.
Come
The men make their way along the tunnel through ankle-deep muddy water and past large pipes. Torch beams flash around in the gloom. Inside the prison, a metal panel is kicked open. The men clamber through a hole. Kruger and Kirk lead the men towards rows of cells. Guns raised, they walk past the cells. Inmates reach out through the bars. A guard appears at the end of the corridor and the men open fire. The guard shakes and drops dead. Kruger goes into a control room and shoots a guy. The men march through. They go into an office and dispatch another guard. As Kruger leads them to a stairway, a team of guards rush to the scene.
We're almost there. Is our support position? Hey, you copy? What the fuck, are you asleep?
Another guard gets shot and falls off a balcony.
Okay, we're running out of time. Let's move.
The guards close in, doors are blown open, and the men move on. They head through a barred door along another corridor. Inmates in orange jumpsuits are out of their cells.
Back off! Get the fuck out of my way!
They get to Kamal's cell. There's no one there.
What the fuck?
Hey, yo, Kruger. Remember you said you'd rather die than integrate?
Yeah, but now's your chance.
Fuck! It's a setup. Let's get the fuck out of here!
Kruger and the men head along corridors. They end up in a barred enclosure and prowl around, guns raised. Bright spotlights come on.
Keep your eyes open. What the fuck?
Guards shoot at them from raised walkways. The men fire back but are gradually picked off. Kruger and de Kirk keep shooting, managing to dispatch some of their attackers. Sparks fly everywhere. Kruger and de Kirk manage to escape. Samuel watches on a screen.
Damn. TV in this country is quite violent.
Kruger and de Kirk get to an exit. The guy in the trees surveys the scene and radios.
You got an open vehicle on your left.
Kruger and de Kirk run towards an orange armored troop carrier. A guard is sitting in the hatch in the roof. Kruger holds a knife into his chest and he falls to the ground. Kruger and de Kirk climb in the two hatches in the roof. Kruger gets behind the wheel and starts the vehicle. De Kirk holds on as Kruger drives through the compound. Kruger drives towards a tall set of gates and turns to De Kirk.
Hold fast!
He smashes through the gates.
Come on, you wanna play chicken, motherfucker!
He smashes into a cop car and it flips onto its roof. De Kirk pops out of the hatch and shoots guards off a wall. He sinks back into the vehicle as Kruger crashes through the main gates.
Take the wheel!
Guards shoot at the departing vehicle. A cop car approaches from the other direction. Kruger shoots it with a big gun. Flames leap from the back of the cop car and it flips. Kruger gets back behind the wheel.
We are home in time, my brother! Come on! Let's go!
A guard on the wall fires rockets at the vehicle. It blows up. Samuel's watching.
You son of a bitch, John.
Oh, that's not nice. Come on now. Is this your first time in the field?
Fuck you.
You got any last words?
Dresham flashes the headlights.
You're a patriot, John. I mean, we both know that's what you are, right? I mean, those hostages, I think about them every day, you know?
Somehow I just kind of feel like that's not quite the truth. Oh, lucky here. It must be your lucky day. Popo just came up in here.
A cop walks up. Dresham tumbles out of the car.
What are you waiting for? Back door! It's empty!
Seeger is whisked away in a white van with Maxine. Dresham seethes.
Man's a fucking ghost. Fuck this.
In the high-rise office, Samuel watches through a telescope. Dresham looks at the car.
It's unbelievable.
I'd be a target in 4 minutes.
Dresham.
We gotta talk fast. This better be worth real money, because after this, I'm done.
You said you had to talk fast.
Got John to loosen up a little bit last night. He told me that Credit Natal is just a diversion for the real target. Ranveld.
Maxine smiles at Seeger.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. It's a diversion. They hit him in Ranveld prison. Clean this fucking mess up.
We've got a 409 in progress at Ranveld prison. I want all units to Ranveld prison immediately. Yeah, go!
The van Maxine and Seeger are in stops at a red light. Cops run to cars and speed off. Seeger and Maxine get out of the van. Seeger called Samuel on his cell phone.
Samuel,
all clear.
Maxine carries a briefcase. They walk up to the reception desk where a woman sits. Seeger shows an ID badge.
May I help you?
Detective Eric Morris, Cape Town Police. We have a situation we'd like to discuss with your security.
Sure.
She calls security.
Yep.
Sir, we have Lieutenant Eric Morris from Cape Town Police Department to see you.
Okay, escort him down.
In the security centre.
So what's this about, Lieutenant?
As you know, we've received some credible intel that there's a bomb threat here, particularly in the Black Vault.
I haven't heard a thing.
We'll check with your supervisor, I'm sure you will.
The guy makes a call. Meanwhile, Samuel deactivates the phone system.
John and rob someone.
The security guy checks his phone. Maxine and Seeger share a look.
We're having a communications problem. I can't confirm what you're saying.
All right. Listen, Sam, what's your name?
Stanley Morgan.
Okay, Stanley. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. Easy way is you're going to tell me what I need to know and help me out. Hard way is I'm going to be scraping you off the ground from outside. This is a time-critical situation.
Look, even if I wanted to, I couldn't help you.
All right. You do have the magnetic keys, don't you?
Yeah, but we don't have the security access code.
You know what? That's where this will come in.
A device.
No problem. We got about 6 minutes and the clock is ticking.
But I really should contact someone.
Let's pull a code from cyberspace.
A message on Samuel's screen. Security access code granted.
You guys better step back, because it could get a little exciting here.
Seeger swipes the car through a slot and punches a code into a keypad. A thick door swings open, revealing a cavernous stone-walled vault. The security guy walks off with a colleague. Seeger and Maxine walk into the vault. There's a long, narrow recess in the floor. Maxine looks around and smiles.
This is gonna be fun.
Seeger looks at the recess in the floor. There's a device set into it. The security guys watch through a window in the control room. Maxine squats down and opens the case. She takes a lead from the case and plugs it into a socket in the floor. She then types on a keyboard inside the case. A message on a screen in the case lid reads, "Uplink established. Enter access code." She punches in a code, and a platform rises out of the floor. She smiles at Seeger.
Showtime.
Maxine goes to the platform. She lifts a lid, revealing a control panel and a screen. She punches keys. Her face appears on Samuel's screen.
Okay, Samuel. You're on.
Oh, I'm always on, baby. Damn, I'm good.
Seeger holds up his device. The display reads, George. George appears on Maxine's screen.
Nice work, Samuel. Okay, access to account file in Greece.
We're looking for big depositors, preferably high up in the government.
Will the Army Chief of Staff do?
Yes, ma'am.
Army Chief of Staff, Athens, Greece. A soldier walks into an office where a general sits at a desk, looking at paperwork.
General.
Yes?
A call from South Africa. They say it's of a personal nature.
The general picks up a phone.
Yes, who is this?
The secret number to count with my hand on the plug. At least you would have known that at one point you were very wealthy, if not a little corrupt.
My deposit's safe.
Or should I just let the world know now?
What do you want of me?
Listen carefully, act quickly.
Ahmet Dasan watches a news report.
Today's extradition of Kamal Dasan, son of Greek billionaire arms dealer Ahmat Dasan, from Randville Prison to Leavenworth, Kansas, has been complicated by an invasion of the high-security facility by a group officials are labeling mercenaries. No word as to whether Dasan...
So where the fuck is my son?
My guess is boarding a heavily guarded military flight to Kansas and questioning your love.
Are you saying your man betrayed us?
Yes, it does seem that way. Tell you what, I'll just keep what's left of my advance and call it even. Cheers.
If convicted, Dasan faced life without parole for allegedly assisting the bombing to Al-Qaeda. An unspecified number of inmates have been killed.
Chapel drives up to the lighthouse where Eddie and Chandra are being held. He walks up to a guard by the door.
Yes, we shall see if they have outlived their usefulness.
Yeah.
Hello, John. You've truly fucked me on this one, haven't you? You've gone straight to the bank. Cost me a lot of money on this one.
Yeah, well, you win some and you lose some, Chapel.
Yes, I know that. But you may have offed little Eddie in the process. I'm looking at him right now. Oh, he's terrified.
You know I can find you wherever you are. Go for it.
I know that, old boy, which is precisely why I have a proposition that will cost you nothing and save little Eddie in the process. While you're in the Black Vault, playing with other people's money, do you think that you could find it in your heart to wire me some? In exchange for those two, of course.
How do I know you won't kill him?
Oh, you don't. But as you said, you can find me anywhere.
Our first proof of life.
Yes, of course. Master Eddie, say hello to your Uncle John.
Hello?
All right, Eddie, I'll be there. Don't you worry, son.
I will. Now, John, I'm not a greedy man. I should think that 100 million U.S. dollars would be an appropriate sum.
I'll get it done.
Good. Then I should expect it within the hour.
Chapel turns to Chandra and Eddie.
And now, it is time to say your final goodbyes.
You lied.
It's a fib, really. Right, Eddie?
Chandra sits on a bed next to Eddie, who is lying down.
I prefer apples.
Chapel picks up a piece of orange and walks down the lighthouse steps, munching it.
Nonny, mm-hmm. Are we going to be all right?
Yes, we are.
At his villa, Ahmet Dasan is on the phone.
I want a contract out on Chapel. So rich, even the FBI will try to collect on it. $500 million. Dead.
Sir, these men are...
Soldiers.
What? Didn't your checks clear?
Come with me. You're under arrest.
What is this about? Get me the Army Chief of Staff.
Yes,
bullshit!
A number of cop cars drive towards the bank.
Samuel, we don't have much time.
Bulldog watches from the van.
We've got company coming in. We have to hurry up.
Okay, shutting down. All right, John, the rest is up to you.
Samuel packs up his computers. In the vault, Seeger and Maxine stare at the screen.
Are you done?
Almost. There's just one last person that deserves to be rich.
He types, transferring.
You're kidding me.
On screen, animated money flies between two safes.
John. John, John. We've got something coming in.
More cop cars drive up and park outside the bank.
There was a compromised access code. Not sure, it could be terrorists.
I received a page that an access code was issued. What's going on?
That's the American, sir. They're checking the vault for a bomb.
A bomb? What are you talking about?
Seeger sees Malik.
Asshole alert.
Malik stares at Seeger from the control room.
You opened the vault? You fucking idiot.
Arrest him now! Go!
Malik hits a panic button. Seeger takes a receipt from a slot.
You're kidding me. You're not.
Seeger strolls towards the exit as two security guards walk up.
Wait here. Come with me, sir.
Yeah.
Seeger twists his arm and karate chops into the floor. Another guy steps up and Seeger shoots him. As Maxine packs up her case, Seeger dispatches another guy. Blood spatters the wall and the man hits the deck. Maxine makes her way out. A SWAT team guy appears. Seeger grabs the man's shotgun and aims his pistol at him.
Don't shoot!
Seeger whacks him in the nuts and over the head, knocking him out cold. Seeger takes a hand grenade from the guy's pocket. Bulldog, who is dressed as a cop, gets out of the van and joins the other cops running into the building. Dresham speeds towards the scene in his black Lexus. In the vault, Malik watches from the control room as a SWAT team closes in on Seeger and Maxine, who hide behind walls.
Stop them! Stop them!
Maxine shoots the guy down.
Take him out now!
The stone-walled corridor is littered with bodies. Seeger peers round a corner. He pulls the pin from the grenade and tosses it into the corridor as more men approach. The last of the SWAT team are blown up. Maxine and Seeger walk away from the vault along the corridor. Maxine smiles confidently. Dresham approaches the two men. As he walks round the corner, Seeger grabs his arm. Maxine shoots the men. Seeger smashes Dresham's head through a window.
Now you want it a one-on-one?
Seeger drops Dresham and throws the receipt down.
Now in prison, even if you got a lot of money, you can't spend it.
Somebody's got some explaining to do.
I'm afraid you're gonna have to come with me, sir.
They give themselves up to Bulldog.
Ladies first.
Smiling, Bulldog cuffs them and leads them out. The remaining security guy looks bemused.
Victim at 329. Transport with private ambulance.
They need you inside.
Right, sir.
Bulldog puts Seeger and Maxine in the back of his white police van and gets in himself. He undoes Seeger's cuffs.
There you go.
You know what? Don't uncuff her.
You sure?
You guys.
Us guys, we're bad.
Bulldog drives off down the street. He takes a right turn and stops outside an office block where Samuel is waiting.
What took you so long?
Samuel gets in the passenger seat. Bulldog drives away. At the bank, Malik heaves himself to his feet. One of the SWAT team guys also gets up. Malik walks over to Dresham, who lies on the floor, clutching the receipt.
Oh, Jesus.
Dresham, who has blood on his forehead, gets to his feet and faces Malik. He holds up the receipt.
It's on me.
Malik reads it.
$32 million deposited into your account. Now I see why you wanted him so badly.
You, Mr. Dresham, are under arrest.
Two SWAT team guys move in.
Shall we?
Dresham steps over the bodies and is escorted down the hall by armed guards. Malik follows them in the van. Samuel opens a laptop.
Leave that shit, man.
This route will take us directly to the Botswana border.
Wait a minute now, we got unfinished business.
They're at the safe house.
Seeger nods.
There should be absolutely no mercy. I want Segan, all of them dead. Now you to fetch young Eddie and Mummy.
Chapel is offered a gun.
I never touch a gun.
Sorry.
That's your job. Idiot.
Come, let's go!
Eddie and Shonda are manhandled out of the lighthouse and down the steps by the unshaven man.
Come on, get in the car.
They are thrust into the back of a dark blue Jaguar parked facing out to sea. Chapel reverses the Jaguar as the men go back into the lighthouse. The Jaguar drives down the white-bordered driveway and away from the lighthouse, and then up a driveway lined with lush vegetation and white flowers. Shonda looks anxious in the back seat of the car, which then pulls up in front of a white Dutch Cape-style house. Armed men stand at the doorway.
Secure the perimeter. I don't want anything coming through.
Eddie is hauled out of the car.
Keep your hands off my son!
Shonda, in handcuffs, stands with her son at the rear of the car and is then marched up the steps and into the house. Chapel follows them in.
Straight ahead. Got it?
Shonda looks defiant.
Come on, come on. Kid, stop looking around.
They walk through the house with its heavy wooden furniture and along a white-painted corridor. Armed men are positioned at intervals. In a bedroom, Shonda and Eddie are shoved down onto the double bed.
Stay.
Chapel looks anxiously out of the window towards the white gateway. Shonda cradles Eddie's head to her chest. Chapel turns and speaks to one of his men.
Keep an eye out.
An armed man pulls the door shut after Chapel leaves. A gull flies over the surface of the sea, wheels, and then lands on the water. Bulldog drives the white police van with its lights on down the shaded approach road to the lighthouse, which stands like the ocean, bathed in sunlight. The van drives through the gates and pulls up on the forecourt in front of a white house, just inshore from the lighthouse. Seeger slides open the side door of the van and gets out, carrying a rifle. The van drives off as Seeger jogs round the side of the house. The van screeches to a halt.
Going inside the house. Take the wheel. I'll meet you on the other side.
Bulldog, gun at the ready, runs up to the house. Seeger jogs over boulders below the lighthouse. Bulldog kicks open a door. He runs through the house, gun raised, but finds it empty. Bulldog kicks open the back door. Seeger climbs over rocks up towards the lighthouse. Samuel drives up in the van.
We've got company.
The men grab their guns. Two move outside.
Kill them all!
One aims out of the open door. Another runs up the stairs. Seeger moves towards the lighthouse on the seaward side. The van pulls up. Armed, Maxine takes up position by the van and nods to Seeger. The van is peppered with shots from the doorway and from behind a car. Bulldog fires but is hit by returning fire.
Bulldog!
He grabs at his shoulder as he sits behind the wall. Maxine fires into the doorway of the lighthouse. Samuel fires in and hits a check-shirted man. Seeger shoots the bald man who'd shot Bulldog. Then he shoots the man in a red shirt and kicks his gun away.
Where's the boy?
In the safe house, South Haven.
Bulldog staggers forward. The unshaven man's at the top of the lighthouse. Bulldog sees the man about to fire down on them from above.
Gun!
Seeger wheels around and fires up, riddling the man with bullets. The man hangs from the railings. Seeger takes aim, and the man falls, crashing through the roof of the parked car.
Come on. Bad parking.
Seeger, Maxine, Samuel and Bulldog get back in the police van and set off down the winding lighthouse approach road, past the house and out. Looking through the white stone gateway and then up the dirt driveway at the Dutch Cape house. Two armed men stand either side of the narrow black door to the house. The police van comes up the wooded driveway and then stops. Seeger, armed, gets out. The house lies several hundred yards away, further up the drive. The others get out of the van.
Sam, you're going around the back. Bulldog, you stay here. Come with me.
Bulldog waits by the van as the others head off through the trees. Seeger runs off the dirt driveway and into the trees. An armed man patrols the perimeter of the lawn, close to the trees. Seeger grabs the man, twists his neck, and the man falls dead to the ground. The house, distant at the end of the drive. Bulldog, in pain from his wound, goes into the trees. A mic'd-up armed man patrols along the edge of the lawn.
East perimeter all clear.
The man stops and looks round. Seeger pulls his legs from under him, throttles him, and twists and breaks his neck. An armed man comes through a stone archway. Eddie and Chandra pace about in their room, watched by a rifle-toting guard. Bulldog peers in at the window. Seeger approaches the house through the trees. At the front of the house, the two armed men.
Did you hear something?
Not sure. Check it out.
One of the men walks down the steps onto the lawn. Seeger shoots him. Samuel closes in on the house. Seeger rounds a corner and shoots a man, then draws back. A man saunters out of the back door of the house, encounters Seeger, and struggles to gain control of his gun. The shot man struggles to reach his rifle. Samuel kicks it away and kicks the man full in the chest. Seeger kicks his assailant. Samuel shoots his opponent, who falls back into the pool. Inside, Chapel shouts into his radio.
Hello!
The kicked man takes a gun from his belt, but Seeger shoots him down. A woolen-hatted guard, unaware, is grabbed from behind by Bulldog, flung down and shot. Chandra and Eddie's guard hear the shot.
Get back!
Leave him alone! He's just a little boy! He's scared!
Let him go, or I'll kill him right here, right now!
Eddie's pushed down onto another chair.
Stay.
The guard draws back and stands by the bedpost so that he can see out of all the windows in the bedroom. Seeger climbs in through a window. Leather-coated Seeger crosses the room and sees the shadow of an armed man on the wall in the hall. Seeger creeps up behind him and fells him with a karate chop. Seeger peers round a corner and can see through the glass door the man guarding Chandra and Eddie. The handcuffed Chandra looks at the guard, then stands up and approaches him.
I really need the bathroom.
No, you don't. You need to stay down there.
Seeger grabs the man in a wrist hold, spins him to the floor and kicks him in the head. The man pulls out a knife and lunges at Seeger, who grabs his arm, gets his knife, and slices his throat. The man falls. Seeger drops the knife onto his body. Chandra cradles Eddie's head.
Are you guys okay?
Thank God you're here.
You all right?
Maxine comes running down the hall, sees one dead guard, then another, and comes into the room.
Watch them for me, will you?
Okay. All right, hold on a second.
She goes to the dead man and finds the key to the handcuffs.
Okay.
Chapel persists with his radio.
Hello, is anyone out there, please?
Maxine guides Eddie and Chandra out of the house. Bulldog's there.
Maxine!
Bulldog, take care of Eddie and Chandra.
This way.
This is Merc 9. I've got a read on Seeger in the West Garden.
The man steps out and fires his rifle, and Seeger returns fire. The man crouches below a low white wall. Seeger moves around and shoots the man. He falls backwards down steps. Maxine sees the man struggling to pick up his rifle, draws a knife, and grabs him around the neck.
This just ain't your motherfucking day.
She cuts his throat, drops the knife, and picks up the rifle. Blood oozes from his throat. She steps over him and then runs back inside the house.
Chapel here. You have a read on Seeger.
Hello, is anyone out there, please?
Hello, anyone, please?
Chapel goes from window to window.
Where are the hostages?
A read on Seeger, please.
Read, please. Anyone there?
Damn it.
Chapel walks wearily around a corner. Seeger walks through the house. Chapel tiptoes along towards his blue Jaguar. Seeger steps out in front of him and crosses his arms. Chapel pulls out a gun.
You have a gun. You kind of break your own rules, I guess. Go ahead. Come on, shoot me down. I didn't think so. You know why? Yeah. Because I'm the only son of a bitch who could do the things that you always want getting done.
And quite right you are, sir. I'll see you on the next gig.
Seeger nods. Chapel backs away, gun still aimed at Seeger. Seeger drops his hands to his side. Chapel opens the door of another car, a BMW. He lowers himself into the driver's seat. Seeger reaches into his pocket. Seeger extends the aerial on a radio. The BMW goes round a bend in the driveway. Chapel smiles to himself. Maxine runs up to Seeger.
Have you seen Chapel?
Samuel arrived.
You mean to tell me you let that milquetoast pussy get away?
Milquetoast? Man, I always thought he had an explosive personality.
The BMW in the distance on the drive. Chapel jigs about to the music. The car explodes.
Boom!
Smoke and falling debris.
Isn't that terrible?
Car parts fall around the shattered car.
Notice I said had explosive. Where's that?
Bulldog, Chandra and Eddie come out.
Let's go.
The group file away to the left of the house. Samuel pats Bulldog on the back. The white police van drives down the dirt path of the driveway past the burning remains of Chapel's BMW. Radio Jones, superimposed over a stars and stripes draped coffin and cemetery, rifles form an arch. Seeger in shades.
I promised I would bring him back with full military honors.
Seeger carries radio, Eddie and Chandra's faces. Radio lies dead. Seeger approaches radio's obelisk memorial stone, the stars and stripes draped coffin, a wreath on top and at both ends. ITFC audio description.